Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing about the importance of Salat, actually I'm supposed to explain to you that the benefits of reading Surah Fatiha and also trying to tell us why we make Ruku, Sijda, Qiyam, Jalsa, why we read At-Tahiyyat and give Salam. We read Surah Fatiha because Surah Fatiha is actually the whole Quran. Ulama Ikram have written, and if you go to our website alislam.co.za, you will find benefits, virtues of Surah Fatiha. Also, we have done a translation, it's called Illuminating Discourses of Quran. Original is by Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Ashiq Ilahi Bulandshahri Muhajir Madani Rahmatullah Alayh. And go read that. The commentators state that the entire Quran Kareem, the subject matter of it, is contained in Surah Fatiha. And Surah Fatiha is contained in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Whereas others go a little step further and say that the whole of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is found in Ba, in the letter Ba. While still others go and say, no, the whole of Ba is contained in the dot of Ba, which is non-divisible, and Tawheed is non-divisible. However, scholars have written about Surah Fatiha that it indicates the entire Quran Kareem and contains verses about belief, encouraging us to do good deeds, avoiding the wrong, foul speech. Or it relates to the mentioning the previous Anbiya alayhi salam and nations, or injunctions on worldly concerns, mu'amalat, in all aspects. If you look at Quran al-Karim, the Surah Fatiha, it is talking about Allah, Tawheed, talking about Risalat, it's talking about Akhirat, it's talking about indications to the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, it is talking about that we should make Allah's Ibadat all the time and ask Him alone for a Sirat al-Mustaqim, and the Sirat al-Mustaqim is the life of the Anbiya alayhi salam, the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada, and those awliya, and those who have gained His pleasure. So if you look that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to read the Surah Fatiha, because Surah Fatiha is the core of the Quran Kareem. And that is why we as Muslims read Surah Fatiha so often. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His court, He gives out a command and injunction that, O sinner, go. I have forgiven you and granted you life. But in future you live a life according to My commandments. Then I shall grant you eternal Jannah. And these verses concerning the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once we read them, Allah tells us, go. At this time, your excesses, your extras are forgiven. But do remember that if you commit such bad deeds, you should take admonition that the hurtful ending of the unbelievers will also be yours. And if the verses recite concern mercy, then the commandment is given, return, you are forgiven. And always seek My forgiveness, for we shall always pardon your sins. Remember, as I've been explaining, that every ayat of Quran al-Karim has got a response. And every ayat that we read, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He replies and He blesses us and He wants us to take admonition of it. So that is why we read the Quran al-Karim in the Salat, and especially the Surah Fatiha, which is the summary. Now, alhamdulillah, we go away into Ruku. After standing, and standing in Ibadat is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have got our hands folded, eyes downcast as a sinner before Allah, reciting Surah Fatiha and other passages and other ayats of Quran. Then we go away into ruku. Then showing that guidance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the burdens that have been placed upon us, when we're going into ruku, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He removes our burden. And when we read Subhanahu Rabbil Azim, that glory be to our Almighty Rabb. Symbolically, what we are saying, that I am guilty of many sins. Then it is ordered, go, we have relieved you of the burden on your back, and the load of your sins we have taken out. In Kanzul Umwal it is related that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person stands for salah, all his sins are packed and placed on his head. When he inclines for the ruku, when he goes for the ruku, all the sins fall down. Thus when this person who performs salat, when he completes the salat, he is cleansed of all sin. This makes the slave happy, and he reads, Allah has indeed listened to one who praises him. See the person, he's standing for salah, praising Allah, and then he is pleading for guidance. In the hadith, as mentioned, all the sins are on the head, loaded on the head, packed on the head. And when this person now says Allahu Akbar and goes away to ruku, and he's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu rabbil azim, he is praising Allah, he's glorifying Allah. And obviously, the sins that are packed on the head, when a person goes to ruku, he offloads it, he drops it down. And can you imagine that now he is lighter? We do not see this, but we can visualize this. What is exactly happening here? That the sins that have been loaded on the head, that the sins that have been packed on the head are dropping down as soon as we go to ruku. And then when we have praised Allah and our sins are offloaded, Samiyallahu liman hamida, that we are now saying Allah has listened, Allah has heard our plea, and Allah has heard our request. That is why we sing all this thing. So what we are saying in Salat also is meaningful. We are just not saying it as a ritual. We are just not saying it by mere of a custom. But see, now we understand that why we are saying what we are saying. And then the person now, he is going to go into sijda. Where is the wisdom of the sijda? Is that after standing in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a state is induced by the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, standing, then going into ruku, all these are spiritual states. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants us to go into the final state, which is going to affect the heart of the performer of salat. It is both the nur and joy which was produced when he was in the posture of ruku for the forgiveness of his sins. And now he reaches the stage of ecstasy. See, the person stood before Allah, praising Allah, talking to Allah, pleading before Allah, supplicating before Allah, going into ruku, dropping off his sins. Now he is clean, now he is pure. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, come into ruku, come into the state of spiritual ecstasy, come into the state of nicety, come and enjoy our lap, come and enjoy our closeness, come and enjoy our nearness, come to sijda. That is when the servant is nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But prior to going to sijda, Allah wants us to be clean. Allah wants us to be rid of the sins. So when we stood and pleaded first, put our request first, put our application first, then we went into ruku, offloading our sins, then we stood and praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hearing our supplication, and for forgiving us, and for offloading our sins, then we in gratification and glorification and praise and supplicating to Allah fall into ecstasy. All this light that now has come into the person, because after ruku, all the darkness is gone. After ruku, the sins are gone. After ruku, every evil form, minor evil form is gone. The person is now cleansed. He is deserving now, as a devotee to Allah, that go into sijda and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu rabbil a'la. Now we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Jami Saghir of Suyuti, it is related, verily the person who prostrates does so between the two feet of the most merciful. So metaphorically speaking, that we are on the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are, according to another hadith, on the lap of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus the person who is performing salah achieves a close nearness and proximity to Allah. And when he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu rabbil a'la, that glory be to the Rabb. And which Rabb? The most high Rabb, the lofty Rabb. He acknowledges that he is at the lowest point of existence, created out of dust. How could he ever be equal? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful to us that we are so sinful and transgressing, we are so disobedient, but Allah is allowing us to go into sijda, go into the best part of ibadat that will give you proximity and nearness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out that, O dust, O my slave, arise and show everyone you can be achieved. You can be achieved by clay. And thus the slave recites Allahu Akbar and raises from dust, lifts his head, and is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not be proud of this situation. You will have to return to dust. Go and prostrate again. Now this is the reason for the second prostration. Show how the slave can rise from dust again. And the devotee recites the previous tasbih of showing greatness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to make the first sijda. And when we make the first sijda, then we gaining proximity to Allah, and we gaining nearness to Allah, and we getting His mercy and His grace, His boons and favors, before we become, in simple terms, proud and arrogant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, rise. That means come out from the sijda and make another sijda, so that any pride or arrogance that comes because we are gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be removed. And in acknowledgement that we are from dust and we're going to dust. So, because we are from dust, one sijda, and going to dust, another sijda. So the first sijda is acknowledging that although we are from dust and clay and mud, and we have come up from there, Allah has allowed us go and make a prostration. And because we are going back to the dust and mud and clay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, see, you have come from dust, make one sijda. You're going to dust, make another sijda. So that there is no pride and arrogance. Because what is the purpose of sijda if we look carefully? That to take the most respected part of the body, which is the head. If you look, the head has got many important organs. The head has got the brain, has got the eyes, has got the ears, has got the mouth, has got the nose, and has got the neck propping it up. So if you look at the head, that most of the five senses, because the skin is responsible and is the biggest organ responsible for touch. But if you look at hearing, the ears, seeing, the eyes, And if you look at smelling the nose, then the brain and the ability to taste and talk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed these amenities and faculties in the head. So the head is an important, significant part of the body, the honorable part. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, take the most respected, honorable part of your body and bring it down low. Bring it down so that now your feet and your head, they are equal. And around this, the masla of sajda on the plane, masla of sajda on the aircraft, masla of sajda on the helicopter, masla of sajda on the ship, masla of sajda in the submarine, masla of sajda on the railway, comes about. Remember those days that there was differences. That is sajda valid on the railway, whilst the rail is moving, is sajda valid? Whilst the plane is flying, is sajda valid? Whilst the ship is moving, is sajda valid? There were some differences of opinion, which was healthy. But when the definition of sajda is made, that to take the most honorable part of the body, to take the most dignified part of the body, the head, to take the most respectful part and significant part of the body, the head, and to lower it, to bring it right down to ground level, to zero level. That is this definition. When we apply that definition, then we know that whether we are in the plane making sajda, whether we are in the ship making sajda, whether we are on the rail making sajda, as long as this has been achieved, that the most honorable part of the body has been taken and brought down to humiliation and in submission, in meekness, in sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the purpose and object of sajda has been achieved, therefore sajda has been made. Then there is no need to repeat the salat if you performed it on the rail or the ship or the aircraft. Why? Because the person, he, alhamdulillah, was allowed and he fulfilled the obligation of sajda by taking this body of his and submitting it. And if you look at the salat, then we are doing exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, that we are taking it and submitting it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Arabi, he explains the change from vertical through the horizontal and finally going into prostration as the change from Rububiyah, lordship, to Ubudiyah, meaning servitude, and the intimate position, the ruku, as a middle between the two, a barzakh, an intermediate stage between heaven and earth. How can you imagine this? That he is saying that from we think of lordship, and then going away into sajda in total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst the ruku is like the barzakh stage. So we have got basically the earth, that means the dunya, the barzakh, that means the life in the grave, and then inshallah into jannah. So if you look at the postures, that this is like standing. How we are standing on earth, how we are standing and behaving on earth, that is like the standing in salat. And this is the earthly position. We are standing and we are observing and we are interacting, and we are now standing in salat before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the earthly position. And going into ruku is like a transitory stage, in transit. A person does not stay in ruku, a human being does not stay in ruku all the time. He has to come up again and then go into sijda. Just like a person who is going to the alam of barzakh, he is going to the realm of the grave. This person here, he is not going to be there all the time. That is the transit lounge. That is the transit avenue. And from there, that person is going to go to Jannah, inshallah. Muslims, we are going to go to Jannah. Now, Jannah is where the pleasure of Allah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pouring and showering upon the person, and the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proximity to Allah, the nearness to Allah. If you look, this is the getting the proximity to Allah, nearness to Allah, ecstasy with Allah, and happiness with Allah, joy with Allah, delight with Allah. We have not realized the value of the sijda. We just are making it, doing it like a ritual and a custom. See how beautiful is this. Standing like the earth, getting into ruku like barzakh, and then getting into sijda, getting into heaven, getting into proximity to Allah, getting into the utter mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when we start making our salat in this fashion and in this manner and with this attitude and in this mentality and with this feeling, then can you imagine how our salat is going to become powerful and strong. That is why Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain, in any difficulty or calamity, in anything, they just resorted to two rakats of nafil salat and got the decisions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their favor. Unfortunately today, we have not realized why we are standing, why we are getting into ruku, why we are going into sijda. We are not developing the power of the salah. It is announced that after two deaths, we shall resurrect you. At which the slave recites Allahu Akbar and stands erect again to show that he will be standing in a like manner on the day of judgment. And whatever the person who is performing has said, has seen and tasted, he requests the presence again, and it is granted, and he is called and calls out the same du'as, same pleas that he previously does. So how fortunate we are that for two deaths, because remember that we have died now and will be resurrected. We came from non-existence into existence, going into non-existence and back into existence. If you look at this, there is two non-existence and two existence. That is why there is two sijdas. That we came from non-existence, from the alam-e arwa, our souls were sent out to us. And then we were born, we came into existence. And then we pass away, we die into non-existence. And then we are going to be resurrected into existence. So we got two in this whole equation. We have got two non-existence and we have got two existence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing us two sijdas. And if you look at it, this is two non-existence and two existence. If you look at it carefully, that is why salat has been prescribed as two rakats. And the Hanafi scholars say there is no such thing as only one rakat performance. There is two rakats, because when you get two existence and two non-existence, that is four. That means you have to have four sijdas. And four sijdas will materialize realistically, not in one rakat, but in two rakats. So the wisdom of this order is that to go into sijda reflects death and extinction's fana. With both the zahiri and batini dimensions, the association of the qiyam and the sijda is that of humility and extinction fana. Thus the person who's making the sijda, he means in the batini aspects of death, and the worldly said it seeks forgiveness. So we are in the earth, standing, pleading, seeking forgiveness. And when we go now from there, we're going into ruku, sijda, to annihilate ourselves, to prostrate and go into ruku, so that our external and internal, that is put before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are annihilating ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are taking all our external and internal, and we are placing it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at it from the legal sense, that when we going into the posture of sijda, that the knees touch the ground first, followed by the hands, then the forehead. And when we get up, it is the head which has to be lifted, then the hands, and lastly the knees. Not to follow this order, unless due to some disability, is strictly undesirable. So this order that we are doing, that we are first standing, then we put our head, then we put our, before that we put our knees first, then followed by the hands, then the forehead. And when we get up, it is reversed. We take, lift our head up, then the hands, and lastly the knees. This is actually what I have been explaining, that the wisdom of the order is the sijda reflects the death, and it reflects that we have annihilated ourselves in both external and in the internal. And the qiyam and the sijda is humility, and also that we have annihilated ourselves. So this person performing the sijda is in total submission and obedience, servitude. He's placing his entire head, he's placing his entire important portion of the body to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus the sijda symbolizes death. It represents death for man, since its sequence in the posture mimics the stage of death. The knees are first to lose their life, then the chest, then the head and the face. The rising from the sijda, which is the zahiri, apparent meaning, signifies life. It is called baqa. Whilst in the batini aspect, it means forgiveness from the sin, since this is a kind of re-verification. Be informed that the getting up from sijda signifies life. The going down signifies death. Thus, it contains an allusion to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, who achieved life when he rose from sijda on earth after being sent from Jannah. First life entered his noble head, then his arms, then his knees. Thus the person who lifts his head when sijda mimics life also lifts the head first, then the arms, and lastly the knees. Now the message in the sequence, why we have this sequence of standing, then ruku, then prostration, sijda, and then again in the next rakat, is that the head is raised high in qiyam, whilst the sijda signifies humility. It is narrated in the hadith that whosoever chooses to select pride, raised head, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is impelled to bring down, to debase and humiliate him. Thus the standing is a raised head, like a proud person. And that is why the lowering of the head has to be performed. The ruku and sijda are two acts placed in the ritual as a reflection of humility. And whosoever perfects humility, Allah will certainly elevate that person. Thus, when the person is performing salah, he elects humility by going into ruku. then immediately the commandment goes out to lift his head into the state of authority. Inshallah, after the break, I will continue.